Blog Talk Radio.
It's okay.
Finally back. This is great. This is Dr. Joanna Wells coming to you from paradise. yeah, so wonderful to be here finally. It's been a long time since we've done a radio show. It's been a long time. I would actually say, goodness, how long has it been, hon? About a year. Over a year. I would say even more than that. Year and a half maybe. But it's been quite a while. But there's a reason for that, because we've been traveling a lot. We've been just on the go, and you know, I have finally kicked the illness. Had amoeba, and then finally kicked that, and then had some other bacteria bug, and finally kicked that as well. So it's just been such a challenge, but at the same time, it's like a good contrast that happened, because it made me realize, you know, when you have a contrast in life, you realize like, wow. You know, things that you don't like, things that are upsetting you, you start to create this desire in the universe, you know, kind of like what Abraham Hicks says, rockets of desire, and you basically launch them and say, you know what, that's not what I want. I want this in my life. This is what I want. And it gets you closer to who you are, who you truly are, which is you're in alignment with your own super conscious resource. So it has been a good challenge. And, you know, and I actually said to the universe today, I said, thank you so much, universe or super conscious mind. Thank you for kicking my ass all over the place, because every time that you do, or I do to myself, it gets me closer to who I really want, who I really am, and what I really want in my life, and the type of people I want in my life, or the type of career I want in my life, and stop compromising myself, you see. And I'm sure a lot of you have gone through this a lot. You know, you overcompromise yourself, and, you know, and you just forget about your heart and listening to what really feels right in life. So that's pretty much my journey anyway. So anyway, I wanted to go ahead, and I'm going to be bringing in a awesome student of mine. He goes by Bruce, and he has had a lot of success in wiping out IRS liens and medical bills. And it was really funny when we started talking earlier, he was really unsure. You know, he's like, oh my gosh, I need some help. I don't really know. And he was, you know, just like many of us that are on the path and becoming a secure creditor. I mean, this is basically what the show is about, becoming a secure creditor and how to operate and how to communicate with these other agencies and how to be respected by these agencies and having them honor you as well and honor your discharges. And I know it can be very difficult, because the first thing you have to realize is knowing who you are. It's all about emotions. It's all about vibratory frequency. And, you know, if you haven't already yet, and this is what I suggest to everybody, please read the book Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles, and really watch Abraham Hicks. Start watching their videos, because they start to speak to you in a way to gain your courage back, so that you're able to own yourself and know who the hell you are, and remember who the hell you are, and know your worthiness, your self-worthiness. Because once you get to that point and then you start seeing the corruption going on around us, then you start to realize, you know what, oh my gosh, I am so worthy of being treated like, you know, a human being or, you know, the God that I am or goddess that I am. I do not deserve to be talked to like this in a way, in this way. So you start to develop a self-confidence that you never knew before, and then you start to manifest things in your reality, things that just you never realized would even come true, and you're like, oh my gosh. And that's a good confidence booster for you, let's put it that way, especially if you're walking on the path of becoming a secure creditor, because it does deal with confidence and knowing that, you know what's going on, and you're able to investigate these companies if they try to make you feel stupid and say, oh, well, this isn't right, this is illegal, this is unlawful, and we're going to throw you in jail if you do not do this for us and pay us. And you're like, wait a second, I need to be an investigator here. I don't just blindly go and pay anybody unless I know who the hell you are and know that you are actually a legitimate company. And anyway, so he pretty much had to go through that in his life. He wasn't sure if the process was going to work. But at the same time, he has a background too. I'm not his first mentor. He's had many other mentors. So he's a very seasoned secure creditor, which really helps greatly. And then utilizing a lot of our tools along with his knowledge before and experience, and he was able to, peacefully communicate with them and get the job done. So I'm going to go ahead and bring him on board here. Let's see here. Okay, Bruce, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Wolf.
Hi. So awesome to hear your voice. How are you?
Yeah. Really good. Really good. Thank you. Good to hear you too.
Thank you. It's good to have a show again. It feels so good to do this. It's been a long time, and thank you so much for sparking that interest within me and saying, you know what, I need to do a show, damn it.
You bet. Yeah, this is good.
Yeah, so go ahead and introduce everybody. I mean, introduce yourself to everyone and tell them about your background.
Okay. Yeah.
Go for it.
Well, yeah, my background, golly, starts with the IRS. I was being audited in 2000, and IRS was a big enemy to me until I found your stuff and realized by actual trial of your deadly weapon letter and becoming a secure creditor that the IRS can be a good friend and really go to work for you.
They sure can.
Yeah.
That's lovely. That's awesome. Yeah, and that's what happens when you were talking about how many liens did you handle from the IRS?
There was through this process, I handled one that got removed right away. As I was filing my first packet, they sent me a certificate of release for one for almost $6,000. And
wow. Okay.
I was just enamored. Yeah, it was wow. It was shock and awe. And
did it take? Like you said, right away.
I filed my stuff on the 15th of March. Is that right? Yeah. And I got a lien against me 2 weeks later for that $6,000-ish, and then this came on, looking at it, but I don't see the date that it came on.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is, the 22nd of April. So
this year,
I sent my packet on that, so about 5 weeks.
Oh my gosh, that's really fast.
My packet. Yeah. Uh-huh. Super fast.
And you got it removed right away. That's so freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Right away. And since then, I've been able to, finish my second packet and start sending out pay packs. And I've got a medical bill here. They sent me, this collection agency sent me on November 8th, a medical bill for $5,000. And $147, and then 3 months later, that was August 8th, and then three months later, in November 8th, they sent me another letter saying I only owed $26.
$26.
Yeah, so they got rid of over $5,000 through sending a payback to them and pay for being that, you know, and sent a BOE.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's really awesome. So within, you say, a month to 3 months, usually a good discharge would be able to go through really well. Okay, and you sent it to where? Puerto Rico, right?
Right. I sent my packet to Puerto Rico for my post-registered account number.
Oh, my God. Okay, good. And then, so you've been sending your pay packs there too?
No, actually to IRS. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and
good
to
for
my
you. Okay, good.
Yeah, and to my state treasurer as well.
Oh, nice. That's really good to hear. Awesome. Yeah, because I remember you saying you got rid of a lot of, like, I think it was a $15,000 one. Was that another one? Or?
Yes. Yes, I'm working on that one right
now.
And
sorry.
it's been I'm glad you reminded me about that one. That one, I've been waiting for them to lien me, and that one they actually I filed for a CDP hearing on that one, and that was, it seemed like every time I file for a CDP hearing they go ahead, even though you're supposed to have a stay of protection in that period of time, they go ahead and try to collect monies, and they've done that to me 3 different times now. Which is, for those who don't know, there's a statute out there that says the IRS can be liable for $100,000 to $1 million if they collect from you during your CDP collection due process hearing of our protection, stay of protection period.
Wow.
That's very interesting.
Can you explain a little more about the CDP?
Once you get a levy filed and they file a lien against you, the IRS will offer you, not in the first, not in the second, but in about the fourth or fifth letter, they'll offer you an opportunity to file for collection due process hearing. And it sounds great. It sounds like, oh, I get to voice my opinion and I get to, object and all this. But really, it's not. All it is is a hearing where they gather your bank information and how they're going to collect from you.
Yeah, exactly.
But
very interesting.
It's one of those things where the words aren't exactly all you.
And trying to have you come into court to be a surety for that body or that name.
Yeah,
that's pretty much why they're doing it. They want you to, you know what I mean? The whole point of them calling you into court is to say, hey, you know what? I am the surety of this name. Yes, that is me. That is me. And then you got a witness. Everyone is saying that, yeah, that's me. That's why they're doing that. So once you do that, then they realize, okay, we just got his acceptance. So let's go ahead and collect on him. That's really what court's about.
Exactly. It really is. Yeah. That's exactly what they're doing. Exactly.
Yeah.
So you never want to go. If you can do it by phone, stay out of court.
Yeah.
Or by letter, stay out of court.
Do it by phone or do it by a letter, because they will use that against you. And you think that, if I go to court like a good little sheep, they're going to help me. No, they're not. They're not there to help you.
They have other plans for you. They have a barbecue warmed up, ready to roast you.
Exactly. You said something very interesting. I know, it was so funny. You said something interesting. You said that the process really even worked more when you actually had to go through the lien first. I don't know if you can explain that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I found that with medical bills too. Once I wait for them to get out of the doctor's office and go to whoever they use to do their collections, the process seems to work better too.
Right. And, very interesting. Actually, one of my oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. You're
yeah, and exactly. Once once the IRS first sends you the notice of you owe this amount, then it doesn't seem to work too good until the process goes into a levy or lien. Then they seem to accept the PayPack a little bit better.
Yeah, you know why? And this is what my mentor said, our mentor and brother, Chief D, because
right.
I talked to him about your situation. And he, you know, extremely knowledgeable. He said that it's the reason why they're able to accept it better on that side is because it has entered the private side. Because right before that, it's on the public side. So they're going to try to get you as much as they can. They can try to basically trick you into making you believe or to get you to basically say, yes, I am that name on the public side, okay? Because that's where they have the power when if you accept them. And when it goes to the private side, then they are able to handle it privately because that's why I say when you send out the PayPack, send it to the IRS, send it to your local treasury, or send it to maybe the treasury in Puerto Rico. I know you said you mentioned that some of the PayPacks you did send to Puerto Rico, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it just
Yeah, when I wasn't having any luck anywhere else, I tried that. I haven't heard back. It's been almost 8 weeks now, so I'm waiting.
Oh, okay. Well, then, you know,
to
you
see how
have
that
a record
went.
With them.
Right.
That's amazing. So how much would you say that you've discharged altogether? How much? How much money?
Let me think here. About $8,000 in medical bills. Actually, a little bit more than that. Probably closer to $10,000. And that's quite a few different medical bills. And then the $6,000 tax lien, and then the $15,000 one, if I'm successful with it, that I've been working on. I think I was successful with it, and what they're going to try to do now is split it. And even though my wife and I filed jointly, they're going to break her off and start sending bills to her and try to lien her for that same amount.
They've
done that quite a few times.
Yeah, it's a good idea, and I'm so glad that you brought this up about the wife and the husband. And it's good to both become secure creditors. It really is, because if they try to do that with you, and then if they try to look for your wife or your husband or whatever, then they know they can't come after you.
Right.
Because there was a situation that happened with a lady. Her name was Bree. She was actually on one of my shows a while ago. She actually got $300,000 wiped out. And they, it was mostly her husband's debt, and they were trying to come after her, and a lot of it, he passed away, and a lot of it was wiped out. And so I think she was dealing with another one for $1 million tax. So I don't know what's going on with that. It's been about over a year and a half, so I haven't heard from her, but I should definitely contact her and see how she's doing with the process. But knowing now more that, you know, you telling me that it seems to work much better if it goes to collections or you have a tax, I mean a lien or a levy, I mean, it goes to show that, okay, until it reaches the private side, it's a lot easier. You just have to you just got to stick to your word. You got to stick to your courage, you know what I mean, and know that the tactics that they're using against you is just to get you to accept, you know, to say yes,
I am this
name.
And I think that's the hardest part for a lot of people is having the intestinal fortitude to go that far with it into the lien situation, you know, where at any time they could come and, you know, take all you own.
Right, and then you're believing that, like, oh, my God, they're going to take everything I own, and at the same time, they've always kind of owned it already. You know what I mean? They've already owned it. They utilize this factor, like, oh, my God, we're going to take your house from you, and the reason why they can do it is because it was already leaned on to begin with. The house you have, you never owned it. But the beautiful thing is when they put you in the lien status, you're able to say, you know what, guess what, guys, I got a higher lien than you do. Please release it. But you said it was a very positive encounter, correct, with the IRS, that they're actually helping you out.
Yes. Yeah. On the private side, they still hassle me on the public side, you know, and they still use fear and intimidation on the public side. Yet once I get to the private side, things are starting to happen. So yeah, I'm glad that basically, brought that to light because I was wondering why that was.
No. I'm glad you did because it was funny. I told Chief Z and he's like, oh, yeah, that's, he said everything is really easy on the private side because it went to the private. In the public,
yeah,
it's like you still believe that it's like weird. It's like you're like schizophrenic in a way. You know what I mean? Not really schizo, but like walking in two different worlds. We're like, ooh, we're in the public and we're in sheep mode. Because we're like, because you want deep inside to believe that that they are working for your best interest, but they're really not. So you have to let them know, hey, I'm in the power here. I'm powerful.
Right, right. Yeah, that's really interesting. It is.
Yeah. So when they start to see that you know your stuff, and on the private side, when it gets to the private side, see, basically what we're basically sharing with the listeners, for all the listeners out there right now, you have to be patient and you have to stand your ground and you got to know who you are and you have to know that what you're seeing before your eyes is not right. Like, okay, here's another interesting topic I wanted to bring up. I mean, not to change the subject, but it gives you an idea. Because I was talking to one of my other students, Quadria, very awesome student of mine. She was talking, she asked the question of why are they treating people like this on United American Airlines, I believe. That's what happened just recently.
Right, yeah.
A very bad situation happened with a guy, and he got beaten up.
I saw that.
And so I basically told her, I go, well, the reason why is because the United States has not been the United States for a very long time, United States of America. But we have been believing for a very long time that it has been the United States of America. We actually have a president. We actually have senators and so forth. But what we don't realize is we have been in a military division for quite a long time, many years, all the way back to the 1871, I believe, with Abraham Lincoln. He was actually the last president. I can go into that another time. But anyway,
yeah, it's
what happened
some of your
was,
training. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So what happened, they installed the schools. And this is way back, even in the 1800s, wherever the first little schoolhouses were there. Remember when they used to hit the kids with the rulers in the hand?
Yeah.
Where the hell was this coming from? It's authority. It's an authority way. It's authority programming. Okay, authoritative programming, dictatorship in a way. And they're teaching the kids, you know, I'm afraid, can I go pee or can I not, to submit.
Yeah.
So when you think about, when you see Little House on the Prairie, okay, think about those years back then. So this is nothing new, you guys. It didn't start in the 30s. This started way back. So when they brought in the little schoolhouses, it is to submit for the chattel kids to submit. And so we have been programmed to believe that we have to get up and ask permission. Another lady on an airline said she had a peeing problem, okay, a urine problem, where she had to get up and go, urinate a lot. And they actually insulted her because she says, you know what, I don't want to do it here. And then so they gave her a freaking cup to do it there on the seat.
Oh, my word.
This was just recent. So this is just a wake-up call for you guys. It is a horrible thing that's happening, but I don't want to delve in the horrible part. I want to delve into the empowering part, which so that way you see this, you have to open your eyes. Everybody out there has to open your eyes, whether you go through me, you go and purchase my package or someone else, or, you do some reading on your own or your own research, you need to realize that there's something more going on that meets the eye, okay? And when you hop on a plane in American Airlines, you're not hopping on a normal plane. You're hopping on a military plane. They are taught to treat you the way that they're supposed to treat you, which is basically prisoners, because you're prisoners of war. So
because we're still in martial law from.
Yes, and it's been going on. The martial law has been happening since the 1800s. So when you think about it, when this is happening, you're like, how in the hell can they do this to me? Don't they abide by the Constitution? And you're like thinking, the Constitution has been dead a long time ago. And not only that, the Constitution is constitutor. You know, paying back your debt is basically what it is. So the Constitution never really stood for the people anyway. It stood for the other people, which were the people that created the Founding Fathers. It did not stand up for we the people. It was for the other we the people that were controlling the whole shimoli. Okay? So you're going to find out a lot of this. But at the same time, there is something called the private side where you're able to exercise those rights, those hidden rights that were taken from you or you thought were taken from you. You actually have them. And it's very difficult. You're probably thinking, oh my gosh, you know, how is it that the birth certificate is worth a lot? It's a lot because what they've done is treasonous. It is the most treasonous thing that has ever happened. You know, if you were to think about, if you were to sue the living piss out of them, I mean, it would probably be forever for what they've done to the American people. So really, the birth certificate is just an insurance policy from what Winston Shrout says. I believe it's $35 billion. Billion or million, I got to remember what he said, but either way, it's just it's an insurance policy. So in case anything happens, you know, and you know, they're scamming you is not working, or you know, say that you died, your death certificate's worth a lot of an insurance policy. Let's put it that way. That's why they don't mind killing people off because they make pretty damn good money off that. You know, I mean, I don't like to scare you, but this is what's happening. People have to wake up and realize, is this correct what they're doing with our children? And another thing, in Germany, they've actually, I think in California, they've already done it as well, vaccinations. If you don't vaccinate your kids, or if you don't, then you get fined a certain amount of money or you go to jail. Well, in Germany, they just started this recently, $3,000, the parents get fined or they get thrown in jail. For putting poison in their kids' bodies, but they can't just go and do it. Why? Because they need our consent. That's the word I was trying to find.
consent,
they need our consent. That's how much power we have. Why would they need our consent still? They need you to consent to go to court. They need you to consent to say that, yes, this is me, the name. They still need your consent. So what does this lead? This leads to the power that you have. When you start to know the game, you can get out of it, and you can communicate in a very positive way. It's not about war and fighting with them. It's just basically letting them know, hey, I know who I am now. So there you have it.
Yeah, that's really good. And that kind of leads back to the power of the deadly, the debt weapon letter.
Yes, tell me about that, your experience with that.
Because we're kind of, we're kind of asking them, you know, hey, you know, show me who you are. Show me that you're real. And I know who I am. Who are you type thing. And I've used that very effectively to clear everything off of my credit. And
good for you.
Yeah. And a lot of small medical bills that I've sent, I've used it to default a lot of these medical bills and other bills and that go to the collection companies. I'm like, you know, who are me? Show me here. And they can't. Half of them will send me a letter saying, well, here's the bill we got from your creditor. You know, well, that's not what I'm asking for. I'm asking you to, like the debt weapon says, what is it, Dr. Wells, that it asked for in that letter?
Let me share this with everybody because I love talking about this awesome letter.
Right.
Because it does protect you. And why I use this combined is because it helps you to get your power back, and you actually do see some results right away. Because what they do, what they're really good at is intimidating you. It's about intimidation. Like, you are to do this. Remember school back in the day when you had to raise your hand to go pee? Remember those days?
Right.
Okay, authoritarian. Yeah. So they're going to utilize that programming onto you. So what you do with this letter, it gives you your balls back, okay?
Yeah.
It helps you to be the investigator. You're actually turning it back on them. You're asking them for a certified final forensic internal audit of their accounts, an audit trail, and a tax registration certificate. In accordance, a certified audit trail, basically in accordance with the International Financial Reporting Standards, which is international, it has to abide by the International Reporting Standards, and GAAP, which is the Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, and UNITRAL Conventions, and Basel III. But you got to keep at it. You cannot waver when they write back and say, oh, wow, according to this and according to that, you have to pay. And I'm like, no, that's not what I'm talking about, that I have to pay.
Right.
I would like to pay.
And that's
not a problem. the problem is you're not producing your end, buddy.
Right, and that's the time when I stay, that's what I like the title of it, non-confrontational, non-contentious, you know, and that's when I just go into your next training, which is how to default them, you know. And,
right.
And that's when I lead with the first of the default letters, and I've defaulted a bunch of them, and I've even defaulted the IRS on a $15,000 alleged debt and different things. And,
right.
And it's neat to see how they back off so quickly when they're in default.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful because then they know that you are playing their game, but you're turning mm-hmm. their game against them now. Now
yes.
you're saying, you know what, I'm not here to fight and put, a, you know, walk around next, you know, with a big sign and saying, you know what, you need to stop this and quit mistreating me. You know what I mean? No, you are actually becoming the powerful forensic. We call it forensic investigator because why we use the word forensic, it is a crime what they're doing. It's criminalistic. Okay.
Yeah.
So
and I can,
we want a forensic report.
Yeah. And they're, I can hear what they're, you know, I can feel what they're saying by their reaction. They're saying, wow, this guy, these people know our game and it's not worth the time and money spent to go after them because they know our game. This is our game. They're playing our game against us.
Exactly. People are waking up right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people. And I know that you said that you had somebody, you knew somebody that basically stood their ground as well, and he was really good. And he actually, I guess he, I don't know if you wanted to talk about it. I think you know where I'm going with that.
Oh,
but if you don't feel comfortable, it's okay.
One of my mentors that we were talking about.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, that one, if that's okay. I just want to ask for permission first.
Well, he helped a lot of people mm-hmm. with their IRS audits, and he taught them how to basically take the authoritative position in an audit and yet stay out of an audit, but still answer their questions with a notebook that was paginated and indexed and bound with all
mm-hmm.
the information that comes in the audit letter. At the bottom of every audit letter, there's three things that they ask for. And he taught people to send that in to them. And then when they try to set the appointment to take, the authoritative command and say, you know, I'm not able to meet at that time, but I can meet at this time. And they say, you know, well, I can't meet them. So, well, you know, that's the only time I can meet. So you're going to have to change your schedule.
That's awesome.
And
so you guys have a little tip for you out there. Go on.
Yeah, really let them know. And then the next thing he taught was actually when it come down to that meeting, just say, I'm not going to be around at that time. But I've sent you everything, as you can see. I've answered all your questions in that binder.
Mm-hmm.
And let
mm-hmm.
me know if you have any questions. I'd be glad to answer anything. And the way, mm-hmm. if you'll put your questions in writing, my memory's not that great. You know, over the phone, I have a hard time keeping track. So if you'll just put your questions in writing and let me know, I'll be glad to answer everything. And so here you are now all of a sudden in charge of this audit, in complete control
mm-hmm.
of it, you know. And
right.
it's a great method, and it worked great. And his theory was notice of default was your passport to tax court. And
mm-hmm.
So he'd get people ready to go to tax court, and then they would call and do a hearing over the phone with the circuit judge and tax attorney, and he would prepare you. He'd say, here's what they're going to do. They've got a stack of these just like yours on their desk, and they want to get them all off their desk, and they want to cut a deal. That's it. They want to cut a deal.
Yeah.
And sure enough,
exactly.
when I got on the phone with the circuit judge in Washington and an attorney in another state, they tried to rattle you by the judge coming on and saying, are you an anti-American? Are you an anti-tax guy? Are you, you know, And I just kind of chuckled because he'd prepared me, you know, for that. And then they say, well, Mr. Attorney, what's the deal here? And so I was prepared for their first few questions, and the judge realized that they didn't want to try to go any further with me because I was well prepared for them and I'd done everything they asked and more. And I finally said, you know, Your Honor, the attorney didn't even read the information. I answered all their questions and didn't even read it. And he said, how do you know that? He yelled at me. And I said, well, because that information was in the binder that he's talking about right now. And the judge just, he was wanting out of there. He was wanting the attorney to cut a deal. So he says, well, the attorney's going to call you back and you guys are going to resolve this and talk about some of this stuff. And I said, okay, Your Honor, what are we going to talk about? Well, he's just going to call you and just, you know, talk about some stuff. And he popped the gutter and didn't know how to answer that. And so what he was really trying to tell the new attorney was, hey, cut a deal. I want to get this off my desk.
Yeah.
I've got 100 of them.
Yeah, because he wants to get paid, even the attorney.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He said, I've got some, you know, $1 million deals to get to. I don't have time for this $14,000 deal or whatever, you know. And so,
of course, right?
Of course, you know, my record showed that they actually owed me money that year, so I was ready to fight them, you know. But anyway, it was all a kind of a contentious deal. The attorney called me back, and I said, I know you didn't read that because I had a 1099 for my secretary that year. And you didn't even give that to me. And he went and he said, just a minute, I'll go look. And he came back and he said, yeah, I found that. I guess I can give that to you, Bruce. And I says, no, you're not going to give that to me. I'm going to take it.
Wow. Awesome.
And so you know, that attitude of who we are, knowing who we are and really not letting them play school with us. And
exactly. And thank you. I love how you said that. Play school with us.
Yeah.
Get that, you guys. Very good.
Yeah. So anyway.
That's awesome. Yeah, right there. I mean, you acted as the investigator. You know, you're investigating them. You always have the power to ask questions. Why is it even in school? And I keep going back to school here because that's where it all begins, guys. This is why you're sending your children. You're sending your children to school to be little chattels. That's all. I mean, you're learning.
Yeah.
They're learning little things like reading, writing, which is normal, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, they're also learning other things like being pushed and prodded, and no, you better be disciplined and all that. Okay. So it's going back to the school and remembering how you were treated, because when they start to treat you like that, when you're a grown up, which we are, they start treating you still like you're about like 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So right away, and they make you look like you're the sinner, you're evil, you need to pay, all this other stuff. They're utilizing these tactics on you, which is all military tactics, because I was in the Army,
if you don't,
by the way. And,
if you don't think so, just go down to the county office and try to work with them, or the DMV and try to work with them or something, and you'll find out.
Thank you so much. Or the post office now. Even the freaking
post
office. You start noticing such a difference, you know.
Yeah.
They treat you like a dog, like a little kid. Like, hey, get back in the line. And I'm like, dude. And I'm so grateful. You think about it. I don't know if you have a military background, but I do. When I am, I'm glad I did. I'm glad because I actually can see the military in the civilian world.
Right.
And when I'm being treated like this in San Diego, where I used to live, you know, it's like, hey, get back in the line. And they yell at you and they talk to you like a dog. You know, or you go to the county clerk of court, you know, to get your stuff recorded or whatever the heck. And they just kind of treat you like that.
Yeah.
And you can tell they're unhappy themselves. It's like, I feel like I'm in the Army. I just feel like I'm in the Army still.
Yeah.
And because we are in the Army, you are.
Yeah, it's martial law. And that's
exactly
then why the Hague Convention is working so well for us, I never realized that. I'd studied it and studied it, and now I finally understand from your teachings why the hate convention works so well for us and gets helps us to come in non-combat and get what we need.
Oh, okay, okay. The hate convention, what is that exactly? I'm so sorry.
There's
a convention that teaches hate, or I don't know.
Hague. You know, that you teach about
the hate. Oh, I thought you said the hate.
Right.
Oh, it sounded like you said hate.
I'm sorry.
I'm like, what? There's a convention that teaches that? Wow, it's hardcore, man. I thought that was Alex Jones.
Yeah, right.
He'd be the major leader there of the hate convention. No?
Right.
Yeah, you totally cut out right there.
Think,
but okay, the Hague, yes.
But
we are.
Don't you think that's
the Hague.
Why
go ahead.
Hague of the convention works so well for us.
Yeah.
And because coming in non-combatant and waving the white flag, yet still knowing who we are.
Yes, we're civilians here. We're the civilians, guys. We're not here to fight with you. We're not at war. We are non-adverse, non-belligerent, non-combatant parties. We're here to be at peace with you all. It's okay, you know. That's the card we have to play, and that's the card that we can play because that does protect us. So, but just know that if you're going through a very difficult moment, and sometimes it could take up to a year, it can take up to that, you've got to play the game in a way where you can turn it on them. And it usually starts on what, if you don't want to wait for the lien to go through or them to lien you, what you would do is you would start to default them, like what Bruce is saying. You would put, first you would start with a deadly weapon letter. You would send it certified mail return receipt with a case with a notary presentment. If you can get a notary presentment, it's much better when you do because they act as a witness. In my case in the past, I never did that. A couple times I did a while ago. This is before I even had the information that I have now. But I had one of my notary guys do it, and one attorney got pissed off and said, "Hey, are you trying to play attorney here? What's going on?"
Did he threaten your notary?
Yeah, he threatened my notary, but my notary didn't mind. And, you know, he was fine because he was really trained by the creditors in commerce back then.
Oh, good.
So he didn't mind.
He was
all for it. But
I had that happen, too. And my notary got
really
so scared. She said she wouldn't do any more work for me because
she didn't know
all this stuff, you know.
Yeah, they get scared because they are actually operating under their jurisdiction, and unfortunately, they are. They're just acting as a witness for you. So, but unfortunately, in order to get certain documents recorded or apostilled, you cannot just have witnesses sign on the documents. Certain documents, like say a security agreement, the act of state, or copyright. You know, certain powerful documents, legal notice and demand and all that, you have to have the notary there as a signature, not only just because they were there to witness, but the fact that it's also for the timing too, because they want to make sure, okay, you did the security agreement first before you did a lien. You didn't do a UCC lien and did the security agreement on the second. Okay. So it actually is good and it actually can protect you. So I totally get what you're saying here, Bruce, because I've had some people have actually written me. They said, wow, there was this woman, she was hardcore, she was helping with foreclosures, and she's a notary in California, and then out of the blue, they haven't heard from her. They don't know where the heck she's at. They haven't heard nothing from her. So
wow.
It could be a very difficult situation because, you know, with a notary, they're there to act as a witness. They're there to protect you, to say, hey, you know what, for the record, everybody, you know, it's not just any witness down the road. It's also a notary. So, and a lot of times, you know, they back away because, again, they are working for the public side. So it can be kind of difficult. So if you cannot get a notary presentment, you know, I mean, just keep moving forward anyway. I mean, believe in yourself regardless because you have more power than anything. You know, you send certified mail return receipt, the deadly weapon letter first, and then you give them a certain amount of time. Let's say I give you 30 days, and then if they, you know, write you back and they're late, or they write you and they still cannot answer your question, then you say, okay, you got 15 days. You know, you're going to be in default here, so you better hurry up. So it's just basically going through the motion of it and letting them know that you're not stupid. You know what's up, and this could be something this is something you can do before you become a secure creditor, because it does take time, you know, about a couple months to finally secure your estate, which is your birth certificate and bond and your passport bond and so forth. So, but at least even though if you're not at that position yet, you can at least stand your ground regardless, and everyone has the power to do that. So, it's very interesting. So, I mean, gosh, so you've been able to wipe out about 16,000 is what you said, correct? And debt?
Yes. And possibly double that if this last one goes through.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, yeah. When this last thing goes through.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Not if.
Yeah, when. Speaking of notaries, did you know that all attorneys and judges are notaries?
Yeah, I mean, they act as witnesses, obviously. But I didn't know they were really notaries. Or they all had,
mm-hmm.
really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's, next question is, do you know what a notary public is?
Notary public, well, basically from what I was trained is, they act as a witness, but they can also, they can also be a judge. From one of the teachings, I believe it was Tim Turner.
Actually, they're a step above that.
Yeah.
A notary public checks all the notaries and keeps them certified. And if they can yank their license, they can yank other notaries' license, and they are appointed by guess who?
England.
In each state.
Correct?
They're appointed by the governor of each state.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's really a power that is higher than judges that are appointed in a state.
Right.
And,
yeah, I've always known that the notary had a very high position. And
there's only like two or three, sometimes a few more per state.
Mhm.
And I have a friend who was campaigning for a governor down in Florida, because the governor promised him he would appoint him to be notary public for the state.
Mhm.
One of the most powerful positions in the state. And,
wow.
Very
interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I know the de jure notaries especially, that's what the position that they have is, like, they know that they have this power. Because, I mean, it's the witness are there to see everything that's happening, what's going on, you know. And everything is right there, you know, valid, authenticated, you know, with their word, basically saying, yes, this person did appear. This is very, very important. And if we just try to get a witness, it's very difficult that they're going to look at your document and actually approve it.
Yeah.
You see? Approve it. Like, okay, but when they see a notary, then they're like, okay, we actually, this is actually authenticated. This is the deal.
Yeah.
The sealed deal here.
Yeah.
So, but for some reason, a lot of these notaries are backing off, though. They're freaking out because if that's the case, you know, the judge is a notary and you know, so forth, then it's because they have a bond with each other, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
There's some type of bond
exactly.
here. Okay. So,
bond of brother,
you know,
brotherly bond of.
There you go.
Like
the brotherly bond.
Like
the Illuminati.
Like what did we call the bar association the other day? The Brotherhood of Thugs.
Yeah, the Brotherhood of Thugs. So it's like the British. The Brits are. I mean, the British are in control of the whole thing because number one, look at how the judge is dressed. I mean, they're in black clothes, robes. Everything's in black. It's like you've entered the Inquisition. So that's pretty much what's going on. And, something I wanted to bring to your attention. You know, there's a lot of, and I'm sure you're aware of this too, Bruce, of course. I did speak to one of the mega gurus, which is Winston Shroud. I mean, I didn't speak to him, but we emailed each other back and forth. And he, because a lot of people have asked, you know, oh my gosh, you know, he's going to be thrown in jail. That means that he's corrupt. He hasn't paid his taxes. So I just wanted to set the record straight a little bit. And I'm sure Wentz is already doing this already.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole reason why the situation is getting out of hand and, you know, they're trying to arrest him isn't because of taxes. It's because he knows something very deep what's going on with the court system. And it's been coming out on the media with Hillary Clinton and a lot of the brotherhood, what they're doing to, you know, the pedophilia ring and all that. They know what's going on. They know that he knows, and many of us know, what's really happening.
Yeah.
So this goes beyond paperwork. This goes beyond the law and justice and, I mean, the judges or whatever, like, you know, everything that we've been programmed to believe about what the judge is capable of doing and what the courts are for, or the police represent, you know, thinking that they're the good guys. But it's a very dark, sinister relationship that these people have with each other. I'm sure you know this, Bruce. A lot of us that
you
are
aware,
why? Just think about it. You know, the black robe. I mean, we saw just a recent sacrifice that happened. I don't know if it was true or not. But it was it was in the, what was it? Oh, goodness. It was in Switzerland, CERN, in front of the goddess Vishnu, I think it was, or the Hindu goddess statue.
Wow.
There was actual sacrifice taking place. Okay.
Oh,
these people are all connected with us, these groups. So you need to, this is a time for us to stand up and realize, you know what, this is the truth. You know, and when all of this is being brought to the light, people are going to be more aware. And I feel in my heart that Winston is going to basically give them their own medicine and let them know, you know what, I mean, this could be a scary thing because of what they're capable of trying to do to him and people like us. But the truth is we have to all be able to come out and come out of the what do you call it, the dumbed-down age or the ignorant age and start to wake up. But we're going to do it in a peaceful manner. I mean, this is what we train. We don't train to be combatant in any way. We realize the truth, what's really happening with this corporation or this cult, if you will. It is a cult. That's what it is. But we have to be the ones to say it's okay. We will work together. It's fine here. Let's discharge the debt. We'll be quiet. Everything's fine. We're not at war here. We're not the ones at war with you. And that's the best card that we can play.
It is. Yeah, it's so important to do it that way.
Exactly. I agree. I totally agree. I was just wondering if anybody out there has any questions for Bruce at all. If you guys have any questions, please let us know. We can go ahead and take some questions. You just kind of got to raise your hand, I guess, on here. You got to know how to do this. But if you guys are completely fine, there's also the chat. You can actually ask questions in the chat room if you have any questions at all. But everybody tonight, God, we have pretty much like a full house here. They just couldn't wait to hear you speak. Very awesome. Yeah, very much. So what is your message to everyone, Bruce? What is your heartfelt message to everyone about this journey?
There's so much power in becoming a secured creditor and and being non-combatant and using who we thought were our enemies, like the people like the IRS, to work for us and help us out. And and there's so much that I want to learn. You know, we were talking the other day, some things that Chief Z is doing and stuff, and taking things to the next level and stuff too. So it's really exciting.
Oh yeah. Chief Z is going to be, you know, I haven't had a full on, I can send you some information. He's got another talk show actually out, and he does, he is moving up to a newer tune, let's put it that way. Because for the longest time, we were led to believe, like, oh, you know, our birth certificate pays for everything. It's not really paying for everything, or or a bond that we can tap into. It's just basically an insurance policy. The power that we have as secure creditors is we can create the bonds in order to, or credit letter in order to purchase things if we wish to. That was on hold for a while, okay, to be honest with you, because, I mean, he had had a lot of connections with people that were really high in the food chain. I mean, I'm talking to people that even work in the inside of the IRS, okay, that, and they are creating bonds and all this and to take care of a lot of discharges. But now we are moving into a new level, and where he has been given some information that they are able to create a credit letter to purchase things. Okay. So I can certainly say that now, but before it was kind of like, okay, yes, 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 but on hold, we were on hold for a while because it wasn't, no one really perfected it 100%. They were basically creating the bonds to basically take care of a lot of the discharges or a lot of the debt problems.
Right.
But in order to move on to the next level is to purchase things because we all have that power to do so. Okay. That is a whole other ball game. And a lot of my students are already there. They've already been to the other webinars, the other workshops that are learning a lot of this information. So it's very, very awesome. We're really grateful for this. So I'm very happy about this. I'm going to be actually, he's coming around tomorrow. We're going to be hanging out tomorrow. So I think him and I definitely need to have a show together. We were going to do it tonight, but then something happened with my son. He was jumping around too much, and he split his knee really bad. And we had to go take him to the Red Cross yesterday. Last night, we were at a karaoke place, and he was just running around, and I had a, it was not good. So we're, like, thinking, okay, we'll just hold off for tomorrow. And and then we'll see what we can do. But him and I, we definitely need to have a show together because there's a lot more things. We haven't really been in contact in a while. He's been so busy traveling, traveling to other meetings because a lot of the meetings are not via phone. A lot of the meetings are so secure that he has to travel to the meetings because the bigger people that he communicates with, they don't believe in communication via internet anymore or phone because of the security concerns, which I don't blame them. Everything he learns, he has to fly and actually meet with these people in person. And so a lot of the information, I mean, now he seems to be making a lot of headway now, and I'm really grateful for this. So a lot of you, let's put it this way, a lot of you who are on sitting on the fence, you're like thinking, I want to be a secure car. I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, if you're ready and if this testimonial is good enough for you, then jump on board, And but I am definitely connected with some really, really powerful people that know their stuff. Okay. Educated people. This is their life. This is definitely their life. And they have been studying this for years, for many years, way beyond my years. Let's put it that way. I mean, Chief C has been studying this information since the Montana Freemen, right? Montana Freemen. I mean, way back then. He's been into this for a long time. Me, I'm a newbie, really, compared to him. So, I know I am. I'm really a newbie. I just started my path at 2009, 2010, which is really
That's
new.
When I started.
Him?
Yeah.
A long time. I don't know. How long have you been involved, Bruce?
I started October of 2008.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you're pretty much, there you have it.
Yeah.
But you still have that seasoned background to be basically say, hey, I know you, I can call the BS right here, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. I haven't studied it as, you know, as consistently as I need to. My learning really started taking off when I started studying your stuff. Because you were able to take everything that I've been studying and simplify it to where I'm like, okay, that's why I need to do this. That's why I need to file this. That's why I need to, you know, and that's why I need to be non-combatant. And that's why I need, you know, and that's how you default people, you know, and that's why.
Yeah.
It's like you made it just so simple for me, you know. So I really owe you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, the reason why is because I talk in layman's terms. My mentor at the time, Spavo Sozo or Jaguar at the time, he would communicate with me in account science terminology, but he would try to communicate with me in a way that I would understand him because it was very difficult. It was like, what are you talking about? Why are you talking in rhythms and stuff? Like, I have no idea. Or rhymes, you know? Like, I'm like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
You know? And but he had to somehow get through to my mind and my subconscious mind, okay, this is how it is. He pulled me away from creditors and commerce and said, I'm going to teach you some real jargon for real. And it's account science. It's not about me being, I'm a sovereign, I'm a patriot. Ooh, I'm fighting for the flag. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, a lot of people believe they're fighting for the freaking flag and they have no idea what the flag's about. Okay. And he's Canadian. So, you know, international, you know, he moved me into international waters, let's put it that way, in my teaching. So it was not about America and patriotism or any of that. It was about knowing your numbers in account science terminology. So, and how to communicate with these agencies in that way when you investigate them. And that's what he did. He would investigate these big companies and even have these big billionaire companies, billion-dollar companies taken down just by not producing their books within 72 hours. If they don't produce their books, then Interpol would step in. It would go all the way to risk management and then Interpol to step in and say, hey, we're going to shut your ass down. And, you know, if they're trying to go after people that aren't paying their taxes, and a lot of them, he would use that tactic and investigate the judges. He would investigate the courts. You know, are you paying your taxes? Can you produce the paperwork? Can you show me a certified audit trail? You know what I mean? And then we'll do it. He says, I still have yet to receive anything from these guys. They will not produce it. And so he would make stories, and he would just make me laugh. You know, he was very humorous.
Yeah.
And he would say, you know, he'd be walking by a judge's house and look at the judge, and the judge would know him, you know, in court, and he would just say, this is going to be my house someday here. You know, just the fact that they don't have their paperwork, because they utilize the same tactic on everyone else about how they have, you know, their corporations. Oh, are you paying your taxes? Oh, tax evasion. This is called tax evasion and laundering money. Okay, well, why don't we kind of use it on you guys, you know, when they try to throw the KYC BS, you know, on you. And I want to know this about you. Are you, okay, where's the money going and what's the money about? Okay, well, what about you guys, the banks? Are you paying your taxes? You understand? It's like we have to ask these guys. And he realized what was going on. He's like, it's the boys' club. That's what they are. They I'll do this for you. You do this for me. This is the little boys' club here. Very, very, very serious stuff. And and then, of course, it goes back to a lot of these ancient lodges, okay, secret societies. And we can get into McDonald's or Macduff. That's a whole other topic, maybe for another time. But I don't want to scare you away, scare people away from all the things going on. But you just got to realize, you know, when you start to know the truth about things happening around you, you start to become very, very aware, and you're like, wow, okay. Who am I serving? Who am I voting for? What is going on in this country here? And that's the awakening you have to go through in order for you to be confident within yourself in utilizing this process. And again, I mean, it's not for everybody. We're not a credit repair agency. I tell everyone that though we are able to help with credit, it goes a little further than that. You start to find out who you truly are. So this has been an awesome conversation here, Bruce. Very, very wonderful. Yeah. I'm really grateful that you showed up tonight and to share your story. And I don't know if anything else you would like to – anything else that you have to throw into the cauldron, that would be fine.
That's all I can think of for now.
Awesome. Well, I'm just so happy for you and your success. That's quite a lot. And then please stay in contact with me and let me know how this other one goes through. It doesn't
for
the IRS,
I sure will.
Correct?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Okay, just tell me how – let me know how this goes, and that's even better because, you know, it helps to inspire a lot of other people too because, you know, people are like, oh, my gosh, I don't know if it's true. And, you know, what do you say to the skeptical people, by the way?
You know, I take my my binder, I have so many big, thick binders of letters back and forth to the IRS, and I take a binder that shows, okay, here's where I was confrontational with the IRS. for, you know, 5 or 6 years. And yes, I was able to finally beat them in federal court over $500,000. But look what happened within, look what happened within just 6 weeks, even 5 weeks, when I was non-confrontational and I used the secured creditor method. And I show them in black and white.
And you said it, it took you how long for the before you became a secure creditor? When you were confrontational.
Oh yes, it was like 5 years of you know
battling
back and forth with them. Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
It was longer than that. Well, I'm sorry. It was clear back from clear back to the year 2000, and. And my mentor was quite confrontational, really, back
yeah.
then. And so I would get stressed, and he'd set me up to get stressed and confrontational, you know, and go back and forth with him. And it's been so much nicer this way to be non-confrontational.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, for the record, you guys, I'm not very confrontational. I'm like a little mouse when it comes to that. I really don't like to be a part of it. I don't like war. I don't like fighting. I don't like to argue. I try not, you know, like if I'm in a situation, I don't like to be in the battlefield because, that you know, you kind of have to be like Bruce Lee, you know, be like water, right? Be like water, you know, just kind of go with the flow, relax, chill, you know, you don't want to be fighting head because they want that. They want the confrontation. And I was a student of creditors and commerce, and that was
another
thing. They were really confrontational. Remember those guys?
Yeah. Yeah, they always win. And when they get you like that, they always win.
They would win like that for the longest time, and then after that, then they didn't win too well because they ended up catching someone doing something, whatever, illegal, or I don't know, something stupid, that they try to find a reason to throw them in jail. But the non-adverse way is like the Aikido way. You know, if you guys are Aikido martial artists, then you would know, you know, you can really win when you're peaceful. And it's so funny when you ask them the questions, the most powerful questions, which is, can you please provide the proof, the debt proof? You know, can you please provide this proof? Can you please show me why do I have to pay this? Who says, under what authority? Can you please provide your business license? You know, things like that. They start to like, oh crap, oh God. And then you start talking like account logistics, like accounting terminology. They don't know how to act. They're like, oh, let me go get my supervisor, you know, because they don't even know, because they weren't trained for this.
Right. It's wonderful.
So 6 weeks compared to what, 6 years?
Yeah. It was more like 12 years. Yeah. It's more like 12 years, really.
12 years. Were you going to court back and forth?
No, I was just, you know, letters back and forth, and the only time I was in a court situation was over the phone with him. Yeah, he did do that. He kept me out of court, I did learn that, to stay out of court.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's definitely a good thing. We also have a... Here's one for one of my students, Del Dog, he calls himself. He goes, hey, Bruce, are you in the SC group? Actually, I got to bring you in the SC group. Are you in the SC group, by the way, Bruce? And on unseen.is?
I'm not sure if I am. I signed up for it a year ago, and then I haven't been back in there, so I don't know.
Yeah, there's been a lot of changes. I know my groups have been changing a lot. So he signed up a year ago. So because I've had IlluminatingMindSociety.com, and I have a VIP in there, but we've actually moved a lot of the groups into the unseen because it's more private and encrypted. So whatever you're sharing, you know, you're protected, you know.
Yeah.
It's out of the iPhone account.
Okay.
Yeah, so what you can
I'm on the – Unseen account, and you say there's an iPhone account as well?
Yeah, okay, you're on the Unseen account. Okay, well, I'm going to be moving you into the private secure creditor group because it was connected to Drana, you know, my Unseen name. Now I'm bringing all my students over to Illuminating Minds because I'm making the Joanna account more private, you know, and Illuminating Minds more the company group. So I'm going to bring you in because we got some really awesome, motivated people, students that are hardcore too. And it would be just really awesome if you can join them and, you know, just kind of give them some inspiration. Yeah. You know, they need a little cheering.
You bet. Yeah, just if you want to just send me that link or whatever, that probably help me.
Yeah. I'll just go ahead and do that when we get off here for sure.
Okay.
And then I'm sure you're going to have a lot of the students, you know, kind of asking questions of the IRS stuff. But just know, you guys, I mean, it's awesome. And, anybody who would like to go through the teachings of Chief Z, if you don't have a background, if you're a total newbie and you're just really not, you know, clued in or on what we're doing and you need help, you have to go through my course. But if you have been seasoned for a while, I mean, even Bruce is seasoned and he went through me, okay? It's the people that is going through me can communicate with Chief Z. And Chief Z has already told me, he says, you know, I don't want to just take anybody. We've had some other types of students that weren't really, let's put it this way, they weren't really sincere. Like they were like, oh, you know, they just want to get to the fast track. I want to start buying things right now. And they didn't even watch the videos. They weren't even into the e-course, and you know, they wanted.
Yeah, that
basically
that
they weren't doing their part.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Work.
What was that?
I say, yeah, that wouldn't work. Just jump right over everything and
no.
Yeah, I'm sure that wouldn't work.
And it's only for specific people because if everyone had all the access into, you know, creating bonds and all that, and then what would happen with the world? And if people are not in a very good mindset, you know, it all has to do with the spirituality within yourself, taking responsibility.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't be out there like shooting people. And because there's criminals out there, okay?
Yeah.
We got to be very selective. We got to be very selective who we bring into the crew because we don't just want to take anybody or have anybody. So, you know, as long as we're actually seeing you're very sincere and you're like, hey, I've gone through the e-course, I've done my package, I've done my homework, and then, you know, you're ready. If you're ready, then I can move you into the door to communicate with Chief Z. Because, you know, one time there was one lady, and he's like, oh, please don't just bring anybody my way, please. She was really, really, it was not a very nice thing. But definitely, I will bring you in, Bruce. And again, thank you so much for sharing with the world. And I'm going to be sharing this. I'm going to even be uploading this on YouTube for everyone to hear this. Because people need to wake up. It's to inspire you all that we can operate peacefully. We're not here to fight with anybody. They want war, and when you're at war, you operate in a very low vibrational frequency. And if you're in a combat situation with somebody and you want to take each other to court, really think about it and try not to do that. Personally, I would say just try to work it out outside the court. Any problems, any custody issues, or any battles with someone else, because the court is not your friend. They never were your friends. They're not there for you.
Good
They're
advice.
There to separate you. Yeah.
Good advice.
I had to learn this myself. I had to grow up and learn. It was my situation in the past, you know, with family members and things. And court, it just makes things worse. It turns you into, it's a bloodthirsty inquisition is all it is. And it's to turn you against your own brother. Really.
Right.
It's
right.
terrible.
It does.
So just learn that. Please.
Cool.
Okay. Oh, no, it's okay, Del Dog. Don't worry. A lot of us get sidetracked. Me too. All right. Well, thank you so much, Bruce. And you have a wonderful
It's been an
evening.
Honor.
And
really
everybody.
Has. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. You're saying?
I say it's been a true honor.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been also an honor communicating with you. And thank you again for sharing your testimonial. This is a real testimonial, you guys. This is not a fakey. This is real. And you can hear it through his voice. He's not just someone that says, oh, yeah, I just wiped out, you know, whatever. Yeah. And then that's it. He's going into the specifics, the specificity of every little thing. So, and he even knows the jargon.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, everybody. You all have a great evening. This is a record. This is a recording so that way you can go back to it as many times as you wish. And I'm looking forward to doing more shows. And you keep me updated, Bruce, with your successes. Take care, guys.
Okay, will do.
All right. Peace out. Bye-bye.